Welcome to episode 98 of Magic the Amateuring. Praise be to wizards and the five colors of the color pie.
You know who we just scared with that intro? All the parents who listen to us and think that magic is a devil game.
Yes, you are right. I'm sorry if you are in the process of convincing someone you know that magic is not
a devil game.
A devil game? We probably didn't help. Did not help.
I used to know somebody who played magic back in the 90s mm-hmm. and whose girlfriend forced him to quit because she thought it was a Satan game.
That's amazing.
And I think it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Because if you actually play magic,
you are. I mean, the truth is, you just don't have any time to worship Satan.
No, you don't. Magic. You have to read articles.
You really get caught. You're watching videos. You're going to tournaments.
GPs.
You're playing magic online.
I just have no time for the Dark Lord.
You're right.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Magic the Amateuring. I'm one of your magic amateurs. My name's Maria.
And I'm your other magic amateur. My name is Megan.
We've been playing Magic the Gathering for 2 years, and we're here to share our noob knowledge with you. Hopefully you are also learning the game. Perhaps you already know the game, and you're a master. That's fine. You can listen to us, too. There ain't no law.
Nope. Although I'm currently working on one with Congress.
Oh, are you?
I am. It's called the You May Only Listen to Podcasts That Are Things About Things That You Don't Already Know
It's a
Bill.
Horrible title.
We're working. It's in committee right
Needs
now.
Needs to be more Orwellian. It's like committee. The Clean Air and Energy Act.
Okay, I'll work on it.
I don't think it's going to pass, though. You got to get bipartisan support on this.
I really do. And, you know, the GD Democrats, man.
They won't side with you?
They just won't side
with
me.
What's their problem?
Oh, people should be free to listen to whatever they want to listen to or something.
Gross.
And then the Republicans won't side with me either because they're like, that sounds like a lot like government regulation and we're all for smaller government.
What about the independents?
They're the only ones I've got.
Okay. You've got like two. Rand Paul, is he still? Anyway.
I don't know.
Coming up on today's show, everybody, we've got a For the Noobs for you about standing up for yourself when you play. We're going to talk Vorthos talk at you. If you don't know what Vorthos means, get ready because you're going to learn. We've also got a mailbag for you. Megan might have to go to some counseling later in the episode in the Flavor Text Theater. So we've got a jam-packed episode for you here.
Woo-hoo.
So get ready or don't. I can't tell you what to do until Megan's law passes, apparently.
That's right. Once the law passes, you will be able to tell our listeners what to do.
Yes.
And they will have to do it.
Really?
It's part of the law.
Do listeners do a sexy dance?
Maria, you can't tell them right now. The law hasn't passed yet.
Take off your pants.
However, old episodes will be grandfathered in. So if in the future, once the law has passed, you are listening to this episode, the law will apply.
Put a toaster in the bathtub.
Maria!
I didn't say plug it in.
Don't put it... It still just sounds like bad advice.
Which brings me to the next point.
Unless it's an empty bathtub.
Follow Great Magic Advice on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
What's the Twitter handle?
At Great MTG Advice.
Yeah, follow that.
It has some really quality magic advice.
It's super great advice. You might want to use it in your daily life. Pass it on to your friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a font of knowledge.
It really is.
And it's definitely not run by Megan and I.
Definitely not. Definitely.
For the noobs, standing up for yourself.
Maria.
What?
Shut up and sit down.
Okay.
No, Maria, this is a section about standing up for yourself.
I'm drinking my own tears.
Don't do that. That's kind of gross. And they're salty. It's only going to dehydrate you more.
They taste like a McDonald's French fry.
Because you eat too many French fries.
I love potatoes.
So you guys, standing up for yourself.
This topic came up to us because I recently had a conversation with Megan, who had played in Madison recently.
Yeah, when I was playing at the PTQ. In Madison.
And she said, well, why don't you tell me the story and I'll say my reaction to the story.
Sure. So it was, I think it was in the first round and we were in game two or game three. We might have been in game three, which makes us even
it
more important.
It does make it important, yep.
My opponent had a Narset. And I was at a pretty low life total, but Narset was his only creature, and I was otherwise pretty ahead on board.
Question, sidebar.
Yes.
Was his Narset good for him in this match?
I don't remember if he cast any good cards off of it.
Because I recently did a draft, and I was Jeskai, and I got past a Narset, like pick four or five.
Yeah.
And I took it, but then I was like, Just kidding. I don't want this card.
I think if you have, like, if you're doing, like, 9 spells, 12 creatures. No, 9 spells, 13 creatures. Then, yes.
It felt so weird to not even put my mythic in my deck.
I mean, I've seen it be really great, but that was a draft deck that had, like 3 Jeskai charms and a treasure cruise.
Yeah, I think you need to pick it early, and then you can build around it, but...
Yeah, or... Yeah. Yeah.
It just wasn't going to make the cut.
If you have a high spell count, that's just anyway, okay.
Anyway, unsidebar, continue.
Yes. So anyways, he attacked me with this Narset, and I had a 3-3 and a 2-3, and I was just like, do you know what? Fuck it, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to double block because I need to get this creature off the board. So I double block, I didn't want to just chump is the thing. I was at a low enough life total that I couldn't just take it.
Right.
I didn't want to chump, so I was like, fuck it, we're going to go for this double block. So I double block it with the 3-3 and the 2-3, and then he uses Temur Charm to fight Narset and the 3-3.
And what's Narset's power and toughness?
3-2.
Okay.
But Temur Charm gives her +1/+1.
Right.
So it makes her into a 4-3. And he's like, okay, your creature dies because of First Strike. I was like, no, like, fight doesn't use First Strike damage. Correct.
New players... Point of note, if you're playing a fight effect, it does not take into account First Strike.
Yes. Very importantly, that also means that Double Strike is not a thing when you're using fight. Just whatever its power is, that is the damage that it will deal. Because the combat step uses First Strike and then regular combat damage. But when you're fighting something, it doesn't have a First Strike effect. Like, there isn't a First Strike phase of a fight effect.
Technically, that doesn't make sense to me that that's the way it works.
Yeah.
But that's the way it works.
I would just say, think of it in terms of, like, you know how also when you use a fight effect, you can fight a ground creature and a flyer.
Sure.
Even if your guy doesn't have reach.
Sure.
It's kind of like that. It's something that only applies during combat. Obviously, flying applies at other times that are also very important. But First Strike is something that only applies in actual combat.
So a fight effect in Khans of Tarkir would be a card like a Savage Punch as well.
Yep, exactly. The first mode on Temur Charm mm-hmm. is a fight effect, and then I think Swift Kick is a fight effect.
Right.
Point being, fight does not use First Strike, so I was like, no, your Narset dies because you fought my 3-3, and First Strike does not apply during a fight effect. And he was like, oh, in that case, I'm going to fight Narset in the 2-3.
Right.
And I was super nervous because I don't like being confrontational. But there was, like, a judge nearby. So I was like, I'm sorry, just wait a second. So I waved the judge over because we were some of the last people playing. He was just down the table. So I, like, waved him over. I was like, okay, can you just confirm for this guy, like, so that he knows that I'm not screwing him over or anything.
Right.
Like, fight does not use First Strike. And the judge was like, yeah, of course. And I was like, okay, I'm sorry, but you can't change the target after you've already
targeted.
Like, you can't change the target after you've cast it and named a target. And he was like, oh, okay. And then it resolved and his Narset died with the fight effect and my guy died. But then my 2-3 lived. So it's
right.
Important.
And so when I heard this story, I told Megan, I don't know if I would have been brave enough. So I would have probably said the First Strike thing because I do know that First Strike does not happen with fight. It's not relevant. But if he had said to me, okay, then I want to target the other guy, I think I just would have, I feel like I would have rolled over and taken it. I would have been like, okay, sure, choose your new targets. But think of this, if I was playing on Magic Online, like,
yeah,
that's not a thing. You cannot
do
that.
No, you can't take that. You can't take that shit back.
No. So I was wondering, like, what tips we can give to people who are in this situation, and it's a PTQ, so this is competitive rules enforcement.
Yeah, and it mattered. Like, it was game 3.
Yeah.
It mattered that his guy died and didn't take, and then both of mine didn't die.
Right. So how can you stand up for yourself better and not feel like you're being a jerk, a bitch, a slug when you tell somebody?
God, I played someone who was such a slug the other day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So slimy.
I mean, you did it by enlisting the help of a judge who was nearby.
That's true. And that's because it made me more comfortable with feeling like I was being a jerk. But I think the most important thing to remember is you're not being a jerk. You are simply following the rules.
Right.
Like, if your opponent didn't know the rules and made a misplay, like, that is something that you are allowed to leverage as a player. Part of you know, part of what makes people better players is their knowledge base. And it just so happens that this person has, like, significant holes in their knowledge base. What you're really, like, you're giving them, one, an opportunity to learn. Like, you better bet that now that guy knows that fight effects do not use first strike.
Absolutely.
And regular combat damage.
He got a tattoo of it. He's never going to forget.
On his hand. He's like, oh, fight does not use first strike.
It's on his nuts.
Exactly.
F-I-T-E-N-O.
F-S.
F-S.
That is the most cryptic knuckle tattoo of all time.
It's so stupid, but he's not going to forget now.
No, he really is not. So I'd say, like, that's one of the things. There are, I feel like a lot of the time we feel like play skill comes down to much more subtle decisions than that. But sometimes the fact is that play skill comes down to, I have a solid understanding of the rules.
Right.
Like, that is better than yours. And you make a mistake based on the fact that you don't know, like, that you have not acquainted yourself with that. And, like, it sounds crappy to say I'm allowed to leverage that, but I'm not really leveraging it. I'm just allowing it to run its course.
For instance, a lot of people will say you're upholding the integrity of the game when you do this.
Yeah, absolutely you are.
Because if you allow somebody to get away with this, well, then perhaps they're going to continue to get away with it and continue to make the mistake, if it is indeed a mistake, and not get any better, not learn about it, and maybe screw over other people who they're playing.
Yeah, exactly. By letting that person know this time, you are hopefully preventing them from doing it to other people in the future.
Right.
Who might not be bold enough to stand up and be like, hey, no, you can't do that.
And think about when you're on the other side of this, too. So I've had people who have, put rules over on me when we're playing, and I don't hold it against them as a human being.
Not at all.
I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess you're right. That's fair. You know what? I signed up to play this game, which has a lot of rules.
It does have just
maybe
a ton.
Maybe more rules than anything on the face of the earth, but... I accept that. When I sat down to play, I accepted that. And I with grace and integrity, will take bend over and take it up the tailpipe.
So, yeah, I would say the biggest thing to remember is that you are not doing anything wrong. You are simply just, like, you are upholding the integrity of the game. You are making that person play as they are supposed to play. And if it helps you to call a judge over and, like re-explain to your opponent.
Right.
While a judge is there to confirm. Like, that's okay.
Judges love to do that shit, man.
Yeah, they love rules advising. That's what they're there for. that and to hand out punishment.
I want to be a magic judge just so I can punish people.
Hand out game losses left and right.
I'm going to bring a ruler like a nun and slap people with it.
Again, going to deck check you.
I got deck checked recently.
Oh, yeah?
This is a fun little tip for everybody out there. So I got deck checked and passed because I don't cheat.
Or make mistakes.
Or make mistakes. Sorry, that sometimes happens. But my opponent brought out his, like, little box of dice. So a lot of people have, like, a box of, say, you know, how many dice are in there? Like, 15 or whatever. Mm-hmm. Those tiny little ones. And he's like, do you want to play Yahtzee? And I was like, this is a great idea. I had never thought about using all those little dice to play Yahtzee while waiting for a deck check. And he's like,
I thought...
Yeah, I've been deck checked a bunch.
I thought your tip was going to be about how to make sure that all of your deck registration is filled out completely and well so that you pass a deck check.
No, I don't care about that. My tip is play Yahtzee if you're being deck checked.
That's hilarious.
It was actually really fun. And I was like, great idea. Nice. And now I don't have to sit in and, like, have a weird conversation about I don't know what.
Yeah.
So
nothing.
We can just play Yahtzee and have a good time. Also, deck check. Don't write your shit down wrong. And register your lands.
Yeah, ma'am. Always remember, register your lands. I think that's the number one. And that and count. Make sure it counts to 40. Those are the two things that I have seen. I think the most is 39 cards and forgot to register lands.
But only register lands what you're playing, not when you're registering cards in a pool.
That's right. Only have to register foils in that case. But otherwise, nope. Get those basic lands out of there.
So I'm going to take myself a challenge, Megan.
Yeah.
And that's to enforce a misplay if I see it on my opponent's behalf.
Absolutely.
I don't know if I'm necessarily going to do this when we're just playing casual draft night down at the store.
Yeah, that is another thing, is that you can think about the scenario. If it's like, if it's just like a casual event at the store, then maybe you'll explain to them afterwards, or you can tell them that it's like you're going to let it go. I saw someone do that with a with morph abilities once. Like, they unmorphed a pine walker.
Yeah.
And their opponent was like, oh, in response. And they were like, well, actually, you can't respond to an unmorph ability.
Right.
Because morph does not use the stack. It just happens. But he's like, he explained to his opponent, he's like, because pine walker creates a trigger, you are allowed to respond to the trigger. So it's like a learning opportunity.
Sure.
But if it's something like a PTQ or something like that, or like a bigger tournament, like, absolutely you should. And I feel like it seems like the lamest advice to give to, like, how to stand up for yourself. But the answer is, the advice is just like, you should do it.
Yeah. And it's not easy.
No, it's not. But you should feel empowered to do it. And if your opponent starts being a dick about it, absolutely call a judge.
Yes.
Because you are in the right. As long as you are confident that you are the one who knows the rules correctly, or even if you're not sure, call a judge
over.
Even
if you're not sure, always call a judge.
Exactly, because the judge will enforce the correct play and the correct interpretation of the rules.
Once when I was at a PTQ, my opponent happened to be a judge.
Oh,
not who was not judging the event. That would be weird.
That would be super weird.
No, it was just somebody who was a judge, and I had this question, and it had to do with retraction helix.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know if I could use retraction helix to tap my guy who had summoning sickness.
Oh, yeah.
Because it grants whatever. Answer is you cannot.
No, you cannot.
But I was like, I have a question, and he's like, I'm a judge, I could answer it for you. And I was like, I don't think so, friend.
That's right. Don't let someone across from you answer it. Usually, if you ask a judge a question at a bigger tournament, they will, like, walk away from the table with you.
Yeah.
They'll be like, do you want to get up? And you're like, okay. And then you can walk away and ask your question. So you're not there just, like, weirdly whispering to the judge on the other side of the hand with your opponent. With your opponent is sitting right there across the table and they're trying to answer you. Well, they also whisper and you have your hands in front of your face and everybody's weird.
I'm just hoping for a judge one day that speaks Welsh or a two-headed giant partner. So we can just go to town and nobody will know what the heck we're saying.
That would be awesome.
Tip, the word for microwave is popty ping. Because popty is a word for oven. It's an oven that goes ping. You guys, Welsh is a beautiful language.
Popty ping.
That's
amazing.
Yeah. Now you all know out there and you can't unknow. So
that,
you're welcome.
That fact. So by all means, I think The three points I'm going to reiterate,
sure,
in standing up for yourself is, one, know the rules. Like, so be confident in yourself. Get acquainted with rules and things that come up in a set. Like things around morph, for example, or something that come up in this set a lot. Or knowing the rules around prowess, for example. I also pulled that one out a couple of times when people made bad blocks. And I was like,
no, this
said
is
prowess. What happens. And they were like, but you didn't announce it when it happened. It's like,
you're like, I don't have to.
I don't have to.
Yeah, we talked about this on the show. You don't have to announce your prowess trigger.
Until it's relevant.
If you're a gentleman, sure, do it. But you don't have to, so.
So sometimes you can be a dick about it.
And you're right.
Yep. So, yes, know the rules. Feel at least, believe in the fact that you are, again, just enforcing how the game is supposed to be played. You are not doing anything wrong. You are, in fact, doing the correct thing to do in this scenario. And three, call a judge if you need some support. Or you need a hand.
If you need more support than a judge can offer you, try wearing a bra or a jockstrap.
Yeah. If you're already wearing one, put on a
another.
Second. Yes.
So in high school, listener note.
Okay.
I was on dance team.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew other dance teams at various other high schools, and the girls were required to wear three sports bras.
That sounds like the most painful thing on the face of the planet.
Yeah, they didn't want no bounce.
Oh my God, but that's not no bounce. That's just like, that's torture. How do you even breathe?
I don't know.
There's so much tension around your chest. How are your lungs supposed to expand?
Anyway, you guys, Jeskai Winscoat has prowess. I always forget.
Jeskai Winscoat has prowess?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. makes it a better card than it would be if it didn't.
Yep.
Fact. Jeskai Windscout with prowess is better than Jeskai Windscout without prowess.
You guys, do you out there know what Vorthos means?
Nope. Tell me.
It means you're into the lore of magic, the story.
Oh, yeah, man.
I actually want to be able to tell you where Vorthos comes from.
Tell me.
But I can't.
Why not?
Because I don't know.
Well, Maria, this is what the internet was made for.
Specifically. Google's going to go and die after it gives us the answer to
after
this.
After it gives us...
Because it's purpose. It's fulfilled its purpose in life.
Okay. Vorthos is a player type. It is not exactly a psychographic profile as such, because this is a page about the psychographic profiles of magic players.
Yes, we've talked about this on the show, but many, 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 many episodes in the past.
Yes, it's about Johnny's, Timmy's, Spike's, and Melvin's.
There's Melvin's.
There's
now?
A Melvin. We know a Melvin. Yeah, you guys. We do. He's delightful.
Oh, wow. What does Melvin do?
Melvin is a pseudo-psychographic profile or player type referring to magic players who appreciate cards with delicate and interesting interactions as well as strong mechanics. Examples of cards that a Melvin might like include Firemaw Kavu and Stuffy Doll.
Interesting.
Very weird.
Because it's that sounds kind of Jimmy E. I mean Timmy E. Fuck.
That sounds kind of Jimmy E, I think.
All right, let's quick review these.
Wait.
I've gotten all messed
Timmy
up.
E. Okay, so Johnny is characterized by his tendency to build complex and creative decks. These are the combo players.
Okay.
So I guess I'm a Johnny, damn it. Timmy is characterized by his tendency to use big creatures and cast big spells. Large, exciting plays motivate Timmy.
I'm definitely a Timmy.
Spike. Spike is characterized by his competitive nature.
He wants to win.
He just wants to win. Mark Rosewater wrote of Spike, "Spike is the competitive player. Spike plays to win. Spike enjoys winning. To accomplish this, Spike will play whatever the best deck is."
Okay.
There you go.
Sure. And then we know Melvin.
We know a Melvin.
And Vorthos. Now, who is Vorthos?
Vorthos is a player type. It is not exactly a psychographic profile as such, as the Vorthos player type is about appreciation and not motivation to win.
Mmm.
If Johnny, Timmy, and Spike are on a triangle of an XY axis...
What?
Vorthos and Melvin would be on the Z axis.
Okay, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Vorthos' concerns are mostly one of flavor and creative consistency. Hmm. Continuity and applying a retcon to the past are key aspects of an involved Vorthos.
So you care about the story. And if you didn't know this, players, this might be something... when I came to the game, I had no idea that there was a story involved in every set of Magic that had been released recently. Mm-hmm. I did not know that. I came in playing Return to Ravnica, and I did not know that there was an original Ravnica to be returned to, or any of that. I didn't know the lore. So now we're going to take a moment to talk about some of the lore behind what's going on now in Khans of Tarkir and what potentially the future holds for the upcoming sets Fate Reforged and Dragons of Tarkir.
Yeah, man. Hold on. Keep talking.
Okay. I was born and raised in a small town, population 10,000, in Minnesota. It was a fine life. I feel like 10,000 was a good-sized town to grow up in.
Gosh, really? That seems so small.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. Now, when I go back, I'm like, that is the smallest small town I have ever smalled. But growing up, it did not feel small at all. It felt the right size. It felt correct. Mm-hmm. Which is so interesting to me now that I think about it. I'm like, well, really, was it too small? Or was it just right? Like a bowl of porridge.
It's
for
just named
bear.
After some dude's half-elven ranger war mage. It's just named after some guy's D&D character.
Oh, okay.
There Vorthos? You go. What? Yeah, there you go. That's it.
Oh, update from last episode, everybody. We had a poll, informal poll, on whether the O word, olives, are good or bad. overwhelmingly, people tweeted at us at MTAcast, come and follow us, it'll be fun, that olives are a horrible abomination. So that is what is now true.
We agree.
And if you thought differently, well, too bad, you didn't tweet it at us enough.
That's right. All right. Sorry, but we've brought the hammer down.
Yep.
Decided the issue, olives, bad.
Horrible.
Awful.
So what's going on right now in Khans of Tarkir? We're in the present.
We are in the present of the plain of Tarkir.
Okay. It's so happening
Tarkir
now.
So Tarkir is a plain. Yes. Khans of Tarkir is what that plain looks like right now.
Okay.
We have the five clans.
Yep.
We have the Khans of them.
Yes.
You know, they're all just chilling and doing their thing.
Yeah, battling.
For the most part. You know, they defend their territory. You know, they just do what they do.
Yeah.
They believe in the things they believe in.
Kin trees, if you're Abzan.
Yeah.
Straight up fucking murder, if you're Mardu.
Mardu, we believe in murder.
They hold it near and dear to their cold black hearts.
Exactly. So it's what it looks like right now. But in the past on Tarkir, there were dragons.
Yes.
Once upon a time. But all the clans kind of like, they hunted the dragons. They killed them for sport. Eventually they had kind of like a giant war against the dragons.
But they all revered a certain part of the dragon.
Yes. Which is weird. Now they do that. Now they've all sort of like taken an aspect of dragon magic and the dragons. Like the dragon.
Maybe we shouldn't have killed every single last one of them.
I'm not entirely sure
that they care.
That the clans think that.
Okay.
I just know that they've all adopted a part of the dragon, right? Like Abzan is the scales.
Sultai is the claw.
Jeskai is the eye.
Mardu is the
wings. And that just leaves.
Teemer is the paw. I don't know what it is. I'm just thinking of the little graphic on the cards. It looks like a little paw, like a little bear paw.
Are you sure? Are you sure that they're...
Maybe Sultai is the fangs.
I think Sultai is the fangs.
Okay.
Yes. And then Teemer is the claws.
Okay. That makes sense.
Right. So they all like revere and use some sort of like element of dragon magic in their day to day beliefs and doings and goings
okay,
on.
Okay. That's normal.
Yeah. But in the past, they killed all of them. And eventually what helped them win the war against the dragons is that the dragons stopped, like, there stopped being
procreating.
New dragons. Exactly. They stopped procreating.
Why?
I don't know, man. They just weren't into each other anymore.
Why?
I don't know. They just weren't feeling
it. They didn't have any bathtubs sitting on the edge of a cliff.
They had to, like, sit in and look over.
Yeah, and
like,
hold hands.
No, they were sadly deprived of
what medication am I thinking of? That's from a commercial. For boner pills.
I mean, it sounds like Viagra. That's the only one that ever has.
It was not Viagra. It was the one that works at, you take it, and then at any point you could get a boner. It's not
Wait,
like,
what? That's not a thing.
Yes, it is.
That
Viagra,
sounds like the worst.
Yeah, I know. Viagra is just like, you take this, and you're going to have a Woody. That is the worst word for a boner I've ever used. I'm sorry.
I'm going to agree with you.
Oh, God. I just wanted to say something other than boner, and that was horrible. I apologize.
That was the worst thing you've ever said. Ugh.
But this one you took, and then you could, like, it wasn't immediately going to stiffen your
junk.
But it was, at some point, if, say, a lady, you know, brushed her hand through her hair, then boom, through the roof.
Brushed her hand through her hair.
Yeah, it really gets...
Wow.
Really, it's all it took, really.
That's pretty, pretty intense.
But it definitely had a commercial with two people in the bathtub, in separate bathtubs, P.S., on a cliff, holding hands.
That is super weird.
I know. I don't understand any part of how that is sexy whatsoever.
I would agree with you.
I want to have a sexy time with you, but get the fuck out of my bathtub. Get in your own.
Go sit in your own separate bathtub.
And let's take these bathtubs out of this cozy house and put them on a cliff in the middle of the fucking nowhere, please. And let's look at this vista. No, on second thought, let's not bone. I'm going to make an omelet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so actually, apparently the dragon tempests stopped coming and no new dragons were spawned. So dragons only like to get it on during
a
storm.
Tempest.
This is what I'm hearing. And there just weren't any
God.
Dragon storms
That's
that were doing it for them.
That's what lightning and thunder is. That's dragons having a roll in the hay.
There you go. So they're stopped being dragon storms, no new baby dragons, and then, you know, dragon hunters just kill all the rest of them. Dragons have been extinct on Tarkir for a long time.
Okay.
Centuries. Centuries.
So what's going to happen in the next set, Magoons?
So the next set is called Fate Reforged.
Okay.
Oh, and it's, I think it's important to know, at some point, Nicole Bolas claims that he went back and killed Eugene, the giant spirit dragon who lived on Tarkir.
A.K.A. Ugin.
Eugene.
Now known as Eugene.
So there's speculation that that had something to do with the dragon tempests not coming anymore.
Oh.
Eugene died.
Nicol Bolas did that?
Murdered Eugene.
No.
They had a big fight times.
Oh my God.
Eugene died.
No.
Apparently.
Eugene.
That is what Nicol Bolas
So if you look at the art
killed him.
Of Bitter Revelation, you'll see Eugene trapped in some ice or something, and Soren is there looking at him like, Eugene's
right.
dead.
So sad.
Oh, Eugene, we need you.
Soren was buddies with Eugene. The two of them, together with the third friend, helped imprison the Eldrazi.
So the Eldrazi, if you recall, were on what plane?
God, I don't even remember. But they're the real big mofos.
So Emrakul 1515.
Exactly.
Is an Eldrazi.
Butcher of Kozilek.
Awesome.
Kozilek is
Ulamog.
Ulamog. There you go. So, right, we know that Soren, who has, we know is on Tarkir,
yep.
Soren's solemn visitor, used to be buddies with Eugene. They together imprisoned the Eldrazi forever.
Nice.
Not forever. Unfortunately, actually, Chandra fucked that one up.
Oh, really, Chandra?
Yeah, she and Jason, Sarkin all got into a fight when Sarkin was over by the Eye of Eugene, which is where the Eldrazi were imprisoned, and Chandra threw some colorless flame at it, which is Eugene's breath is colorless flame. And Chandra created
called ghost fire.
Oh,
sounds familiar.
So Chandra threw some colorless flame at the Eye of Eugene, and then it opened on the fucking Eldrazi got out.
Uh-oh.
So there you go. Thanks, Chandra.
So we're going into the past, perhaps, for Fate Reforged.
Yes, so we are going into the past, and this is the past in which Soren goes and saves Eugene.
And like,
up.
You're not going to get killed by Nicol Bolas, I'm
going
to change
who knows?
History.
We don't know how it happens, exactly, but Soren's going to go back and change history by making sure Eugene does not die.
Awesome.
There is speculation that Nicol Bolas will die.
What? Nicol Bolas can never die.
I mean, there's speculation, I'm not saying it's going to happen. Just saying that there is speculation.
Oh my God.
So, that's that.
That's frightening.
And then, so because the third set is called Dragons of Tarkir.
So they must come back.
Well, that's the theory is that is the new future. Or the new present.
And dragons be banging everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. And we don't have the Khans anymore. Because we don't have the Khans or the clans. Who knows? Because the Khans and the clans exist in the current one. Soren's going to go back and change everything. So the future is going to have dragons. And who knows? Who knows what society looks like?
So question, when we're drafting Dragons of Tarkir, what are we drafting it with?
I think it's going to be drafted with Fate Reforged.
So not even.
Because I think Fate Reforged, this one goes big, small, big. And it's going to be, the next draft will be two Khans and one Fate Reforged. And then once Dragons of Tarkir comes out, it's going to be two dragons, because dragons will be a big set, two dragons and one fate.
Okay.
So there you go.
Wow, it's like they never happened.
Oh, shit.
That's kind of cool.
It's pretty cool, man.
Wow.
Crazy.
Wizards creative. That's pretty neat. I like
that. Mm-hmm.
Now get on that 80s theme set featuring Huey Lewis in the News, please. Thank you.
So there you go. That's a little bit of something to expect.
Wow. And I mean, we've seen glimmers of this because we've had spoilers, which we've talked about on the show, one of which destroys everything or destroys all dragons, I think. I don't remember.
Destroys all non-dragons or destroys all dragons.
Right. So that's going
to
happen.
So you have to pick a side to be on.
And I'm pretty sure Eugene's going to be a planeswalker.
Oh, yeah.
We had a recently
for sure
spoiled, it was not real.
Fake Eugene.
Fake Eugene planeswalker.
Fake Eugene.
Thank God it wasn't real.
Fake
it's really
Gene.
Dumb. But Eugene's definitely going to be a planeswalker, probably colorless.
Who knows?
Oh, I'm so excited.
I mean, his magic is primarily colorless.
Interesting.
His breath is colorless.
Has there been a colorless planeswalker?
Yeah, there's Karn.
Oh, yeah, Karn. Okay. Cool.
If you ever want to read some weird stuff, Karn is pretty weird. There's some pretty weird story around him. He, like, dreamed... Is it Mirrodin? I think he dreamed Mirrodin into existence.
That's pretty wild. If what I dreamed came into existence, there would be a lot of Matthew McConaughey's.
He... I'm disturbed. I'm really perturbed by that.
All right, all right, all right.
No. What? No. Stop it.
So we've got a mailbag listener here who has a question about hotel rooms. Hey, noob lords.
Thank you for addressing us by our correct title.
Great, great title. I'd really like to go to GP Baltimore, but my usual traveling partners are not interested. What is a good resource to find other stray wizards who do not want to pay the whole $200 a night for just themselves? Do I really have to leave Magic Online and venture into my LGS to ask people in person? Or is there somewhere online where I can meet players in the same boat, especially ones who will not murder me in my sleep? Murdering me while I'm awake is fine. Good luck, high five, Kevin.
Real good question.
Yeah.
First of all, this is coming from a budget traveler, which I absolutely am. There is Hosteling International, which is a really, it's, if you're going to stay at a hostel in the US, I really recommend Hosteling International, because it's obviously an international like organization, and all of their hostels are like very nice and clean and safe. And the one in Baltimore is only half a mile from the convention center.
How much a night is something like that?
$25 a night if you book awesome. Right now. So I highly recommend that. I am going to GP Baltimore, and I think I will probably be hosteling it up. Because half a mile, dude, you can't get much closer than that.
No, that's awesome.
And it's super cheap, and it's a real good deal. So one, I always recommend checking out a hostel, especially if you're like me and you don't always like being around strangers.
Yeah.
You're a little socially inept. Give that one a try.
Another option for you is heading on the Magic subreddit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is reddit.com/r/magicTCG, and posting in there that you're looking for some hotel buddies.
Yeah.
I have definitely seen threads in there from similar people who are also looking for hotel buddies. I can't vouch for if they will or will not murder you in your sleep, but...
Or awake, I don't know.
You know, who knows? But I have found that most Magic players are very nice humans who are all looking for a good deal, actually.
Yes.
I've yet to meet a rich... Magic player.
Oh, they exist.
I mean, they exist, but I mean, most Magic people are looking to save money because they spend it all on Magic. So.
Exactly, because they are spending it all on Magic.
So yeah, that's a good resource. Just, you know, find somebody who seems like a cool person and, you know, doesn't have a knife collection. Ask what they like to collect. If it's not knives, you're probably okay.
Make that part of your question. Hey, looking for people to stay with at GP Baltimore, do you have a knife collection?
Yeah, that's good. You can also try, you know, some couch surfing websites.
Yeah, that's true. I'm trying to think. Is it just couch surfing? What's the main one?
The main one. Oh, what is it called? Airbnb.
Oh, yeah. I think that's usually for just like a whole house, though. Is
yeah, it? Sometimes. Okay. And it's probably, I think it's usually cheaper than a hotel, Airbnb. And you know what? Going down to your LGS to ask some people is not the worst thing that'll ever happen to you in your life.
No, not at all.
I promise you.
Couchsurfing.org.
Oh, .org.
There you go.
That you will probably meet some people who you think are really nice. So I suggest, you know, it can be scary to go down to the store, but you got to venture out in your life sometime. And why not expand your horizons and your borders while you're still living and you're not a ghost?
Make that day today.
Make that, you know, no day but today.
I didn't start expanding my borders until I was a ghost.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I really wished I had taken it up while I was
while
a person.
While you were alive?
Yeah.
How about scouting the borders? When did you scout the borders?
I scout the borders often. Yeah. I really enjoy scouting the borders.
Nice.
I think it's a quality thing to do.
That's a card that Maria doesn't want to play.
I mean, you always get a land or a creature out of it.
I guess.
Maria, it's so good. If you have delve spells, it's like just adding mana to your mana pool. It's like free mana.
Free money?
Free money.
Okay.
Free money!
So there you go, Kevin. Those are our suggestions for you.
Yeah, ma'am.
And also put on the call on Twitter and ask for a retweet. You could do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've seen people do that as well. And follow us at MTAcast, and maybe we'll throw out a retweet for you.
Yeah, we absolutely would.
And if that's not an incentive enough for you to follow us, we're nearing 1,000 followers, and...
Oh, shit!
I would super like to hit 1,000.
For our 100th episode?
Yeah.
It would be the day of zeros. It'd be the day of zeros.
That sounds bad?
Yeah, it does sound bad.
Oh, God.
It would be the day of multiples of 100.
And you guys, make sure you make it a date to listen to our 100th episode, because it's going to be epic. Siege Rhino Counseling. Welcome to my office, Megan.
Oh, whatever.
Thank you for taking time to seek therapy. I'm your therapist, Miranda Huggenkiss.
Oh, great. Miranda Huggenkiss. I've heard so many great things about you.
Yeah, you'll see on the wall all of my certificates.
Mm-hmm.
I'm legit.
Yeah,
I did not make those in Photoshop.
Oh.
So lie down on my couch here. I got to pull it out of the wall. It's like one of those beds. What do you call them?
A Murphy bed.
A Murphy bed.
We have a Murphy chaise lounge.
Yes. So I have a seat. It's a little squeaky.
Okay.
I haven't oiled it recently. So tell me, what's the problem?
Look, I don't have a problem, okay? He has a problem.
Oh, he. I'm hearing a lot of anger. Who is this he?
Siege Rhino.
Siege. How do you spell that?
S-I-E-G-E space rhino.
Okay. Remedial spelling lessons. Continue.
Look, I'm just saying that I don't understand why he has to be such a jerk.
Okay.
We get it. You're a 4-5-for-4. You have great rates. Look Whoa. At you. You're a big, stupid, trampling 4-5-for-4.
I'm going to light some incense. I want you to think about a time Ugh. In your life when you weren't a raging...
Rhino hater. Look, I think that there... Do you know what? There was a time when I didn't know about Siege Rhino,
mm-hmm.
arguably because he didn't exist. And maybe during that time, I wasn't technically a Rhino hater. But as soon as I saw him, I was I think I've been a Rhino hater all my life. It was just waiting.
Has anybody ever told you that you sound like a racist? A Rhino racist?
What?
I'm playing devil's advocate.
I'm the racist when he comes down and he takes 3 life away from people. What is that? What do you call that?
Give you a scenario. This rhino, not only is he taking life, but Megan, he's also giving life.
Oh, only to the people who brought him into this world.
Is my incense doing nothing for you?
No, it smells like rage. Fleas.
You have such rage in you.
Look, I just
I want you
hate
to hold
it.
My
I have
hand.
To see him everywhere.
Hold my hand.
He's everywhere.
Tighter. Your hand is very sweaty.
I hate him. He's everywhere. Why is he everywhere?
I want you to tell me one good thing about Siege Rhino. Dig deep in your heart. One. Just one. That's all I'm asking.
He dies to murderous cut.
Okay. That's not
That's
a good
thing about him.
Okay.
That's a good thing about him.
Something positive he's done for other people.
If I have a Hushwing Griffin play, he doesn't take life away.
It's not good enough.
These are Miranda Hug and Kiss. These are the only good things I can think of to say about Siege Rhino.
Do you want to move forward in your life, or do you want to be stuck in this rut, hating Siege Rhino till you're old and gray and your skin is crackly like old paint?
I think I want to hate him. I think I want the second option.
So you're enjoying the hate.
I like hating him. He's a monster.
I want you to look into this mirror. Sometimes I look into this mirror at my own vagina.
What? I didn't even know that!
It's personal. We're getting personal in here. Okay. And I want you to tell me what you see.
No, I see someone who hates rhinos. I see a rhino hater.
Is that who you want to be?
It's just who I am, Miranda.
Is that who you want to be?
It's just who I am.
That'll be $3,000.
God damn it, this is expensive.
You're cured.
I'm going to pay you in boosters.
Perfect.
Okay.
Flavortext Theater presents Guess Who's Coming to Thanksgiving Dinner, based on the hit movie from the 1960s. I don't know when it came out. Anyway.
Who's Coming to Dinner?
Yeah. Well,
so.
What are we going to do this week? Thanksgiving's coming up.
Yeah, it is.
And we're going to crack a cons pack here, and Megan and I are going to pick random cards from it and arrive at Thanksgiving dinner, and we're going to have to figure out who it is who's arriving at Thanksgiving dinner. Yoink. Oh.
I accidentally pulled that one off.
She accidentally pulled a bloodstain mire. That's pretty good.
Nice. All right.
Okay.
So Maria, I'm sorry. I went a little crazy with who I was inviting for dinner this year.
Oh, that's fine.
I just wanted everybody.
Bing bong.
I just wanted everybody to come. Hold on. I'll go answer the door. The first person's here. Oh, hi.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me.
Hi, giant snake.
I brought, I brought you a nice potato dish.
Oh, thank you. God, you're creepy.
Yeah, when I look at you, I see your future. You're going to die one day.
What?
That's just how the way it is.
I am?
Yes.
Who tells people this at Thanksgiving?
I'm sorry, I can't help it. I see the future. You're later on going to take a large dump in a toilet.
What? Why are you saying these kinds of things to me?
I just know I know certain things.
Sultai soothsayer.
Ah, you got it!
God, God, Maria, remind me not to invite Sultai Soothsayer next year.
Invite him. He's got awesome potato dish.
He just gets real creepy up in
That's
here.
Awesome. Who else is coming, I wonder?
Ding dong. Oh,
let me get the door, Megan. All
right. Oh, hey, guys.
Oh, hey.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm ready to eat.
Oh, cool. Can you tell who I am right now? Probably not, because I'm face down.
Oh, you're a morph.
Oh, hey. Do you wanna turn me face up? It's real cheap. It's real cheap to turn me face up.
It's super cheap pretty cheap?
It is super. I am super
what
cheap.
What if I showed you this red baking dish? Would you turn face up?
No, you can't show me a red baking dish. Mm. What are you? Oh, hey, do you want to play another fun game? Do you want to play another fun game?
Sure.
Just hit me.
Okay.
Hit me. I'm all better.
Kintree, whatever.
That's me. Oh. It's me, Kintree Warden.
Kintree Warden, thanks for coming. You're so short.
Oh, I know. I'm just a little guy. But you can. That's why people bring me around for Thanksgiving, so they can hit me. And I'm fine.
And you're fine with it.
And I'm fine with it.
Ding dong.
Oh, Maria, I'll grab the door. Hello?
Oh, hi.
Hi, giant dog.
That's right. Hold on a second. I have to assemble this sniper rifle.
What?
I just, don't worry about it. No work and all play. I mean, all work and no play. For is my job.
Maria, did we invite a sniper dog?
All right. Yes, we did. Okay, I just gotta take one person out here.
What? What?
Shot down that helicopter. They're all dead.
Did you shut down a helicopter?
Yes. No big deal. Oh, I brought green beans. I brought green beans. Green beans.
Oh, thank you.
Let me disassemble my rifle. Do you need me to shoot down any airplanes for you? Perhaps a geese. Migrating geese. I kill geese.
Yeah, could you shoot down a goose?
Yeah, no problem.
We didn't cook a turkey.
Assemble my rifle.
Maria, I don't know who this is. I can't think of sniper dogs in the set.
You can't? How can you not? Everybody's screaming right now. They know what it is.
A sniper dog.
Look at this sniper dog.
Oh, long shot squad. You didn't tell me that you were going to give the rest of my friends guns.
Oh, yeah. I should have brought guns for everybody.
Sniper dog.
I love when you're like, sniper dog. I'm like, yes, that literally is the card.
That's actually what it is.
Yeah, for real.
Maria, I think I hear someone at the door.
Oh, okay. I'll answer it.
Bing bong.
Oh, hello.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Oh, hi.
Oh, hey. I brought three other friends.
Oh, you did.
Where can we put our horses?
All right, Pony Back Brigade, put them in the back. Oh, we already talked about that card today. Nope, Swiftwater Cliffs, not happening.
Bing bong.
Hello.
God, Maria, it's another fucking creepy snake.
Yeah, well, yep, pretty close. I live in a swamp. I brought eggs. My own. You can eat them.
What?
They're not fertilized.
This is super weird.
If you eat them, you might gain life.
Oh.
I'm sacrificing them for
Why
you.
Why did we bring Caro Dreadma?
Yay!
God.
We're so good at this now.
Maria always...
Don't you want to eat a crocodile egg? That's fun. Eating a crocodile egg. Why not?
I mean, I guess.
Bing bong! Who's there?
Oh, hey, it's just me. God, I'm sorry. I just flew in. But I can't fit my big butt through your door.
Monastery flock.
No, I mean, I do have as big a butt as Monastery flock, but I'm able. I mean, I can get in for a damage here and there.
Oh, River Wheel aerialists.
What? No, they have a giant butt, but they also, man, can they attack up front? They're just, they got it all. They got it all going on. I'm just a, I got a little bit going on.
A little bit of a butt?
No, I got a big butt. A little bit going on in front.
Why can't I think of who you are?
Oh, maybe it's because I'm face down right now. You just need to flip me face up.
Oh, I swear to God. Mistfire Weaver. No, you don't have any butt.
No, Mistfire Weaver don't have no butt. Look, I was just, you know, I do this thing where I go, like, while troops are down on the ground, I fly down and I, like, poke them a little bit, and I fly back up in the air and fly down and poke them a little bit.
Do you know what that's called?
Do you know what that's called when you do that?
When you fly down and poke?
No, like, when you just kind of, like, you, like, attack a little bit, and then you retreat, and then you attack a little bit, and you retreat, and then you attack a little bit, and you retreat. I do that.
Oh.
You would say that I harry troops.
You're Sage I Harrier.
That I am. Where's the door I can get my big butt through?
You know, side note on Sage I Harrier, if you look at this art, it's kind of my favorite because this bird is wearing a sick-ass vest.
Is it?
Yeah, look at that.
Dude, that is a sick vest.
Anyway, thanks everybody for coming to Thanksgiving. We're going to have a super great meal that I'm really excited about.
Maria, we left the giant flying sheep out on the porch.
Oh, well, maybe next year.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll make a coat out of him.
But I'm glad. What?
That's nothing. Awful. Nope.
Good thing we didn't let that bellowing saddle brute in, though.
No, that would have been
such
bad.
A dick.
Really bad.
He's the worst. The actual worst. So.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a fun Thanksgiving. Just wish you would quit inviting the weird reptiles.
That's our show, everybody. Thanks for listening. Make sure to tune in a couple weeks for episode 100 and in the week in between, because we're probably also going to do episodes then.
Yeah.
And remember, if you'd like to support the show, head to that's not where you need to go. Head to patreon.com/mtacast and donate to the show. Just $1 an episode makes a big difference. We'd love to have you join the family. Every so often we get another person joining the Patreon family, and it's so very wonderful. And we're going to start sending out a reward soon for everybody who's become a Patreon member. So thank you so very much. And more people, join the flock. If you don't want to do that, follow us on MTACast on Twitter. At MTACast, obviously. Or check out our show at magicthamateuring.com. We have every single episode from episode 1 to where we are now.
That's right. If you want to find us on Magic Online, I am Ice Cream Socialist.
And I'm Horny_Unicorny. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, MTGcast.com, or, you know, probably other sites on the internet that we don't even know about.
That's right. I haven't found all the sites on the internet yet.
No.
There's
not
lots
all of
ones
them?
I don't know about.
You can read articles that Megan writes on themeadery.org.
That's right. Sometimes I do that. Tippity-typity on the on the keyboard-opity.
You sure do.
Yep.
See you later, everybody. Until then, keep your pants warm and the toaster out of the tub.
And remember, don't let anyone else into your bathtub. They may only sit in an adjacent one.